Today, this day, we are observing the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as commanded in the Bible. I want to refer especially to Leviticus 23:6-8, verse 5 tells us, on the 14th day of the first month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover, which we had just a week ago, Friday. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we started last Sunday. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. It has been mentioned before that if you eat bread, it must be unleavened bread. Though not eating unleavened bread, unleavened bread is not sin, but rather the eating of leavened bread could be sin. Continuing in verse 7, on the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. That's where we are right now. You shall do no customary work on it. This is where we are today, the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We can find references to these holy days also in Exodus 34, Deuteronomy 16 in the Old Testament, where they are to be kept annually on their appointed day. If you turn with to Matthew 26, I have it in my notes, if you could turn there though. We read in Matthew 26 where the disciples were going to observe it along with Jesus Christ just before he was to be crucified. Verse 17 in Matthew 26 says, "Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And then he gave them instructions in verse 18. We also find the record of this in Mark 14, verse 12 through 15. Then again in Luke 22, verse 1 and verse 7, we also find this reference of the days of unleavened bread in Acts 12 and 20, verse 6. So let's go through these right quick. Let's go to Mark 14, 12. "And they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken a parable against them. So they left him and went away." You know? I got the wrong chapter. It's 14, verse 12. Sorry. "Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they had killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where do you want us to go to prepare that you may eat the Passover?' Then in Luke 22, verse 1, "And the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called Passover." And verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed." We also find that reference again in Acts 12, verse 3. Let's turn there. "And because he saw that it was pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread when this happened." These are just references that we can turn to verify that the days of unleavened bread were not only kept during Old Testament times, but also in the New Testament days. We'll use these scriptures as a backdrop for the rest of today's message. My point is not to prove that the day of unleavened bread were kept before Jesus Christ and his disciples after his death, but rather we are still to keep them today, right now, in this congregation. That's why we're here. and what its meaning and effect on each and every one of us in this room. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5. Verses 7 and 8. Therefore, purge out this old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. For indeed, excuse me. Now let's go back to verse 1 and pick up the reasoning for Paul's admonition to the church of Corinth. It's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as has not been named among the Gentiles, that a man has his wife, has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. For indeed, as absent in the body but present in spirit, I am already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan, for destruction of flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of Lord Jesus Christ. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? You know, at that time, a man could be put to death. He could have been stoned to death, you know. And you think, that might sound cruel, but he'd be stoned to death. He could be dead, he'd be dead to the physical body. He can be resurrected at the return of Jesus Christ. Remembering that the leaven represents sin, just like ant poison. I have more to say about it later, probably. Just like ant poison we use on ants to kill ants, we sprinkle a little around the opening we know they use to enter the nest or dwelling. Then one ant, will carry this poison into the house or in the home with the rest of the ants. Just like the ant poison, it doesn't kill just the one ant, but it will be shared by many ants, maybe all of them. So the leaven of sin goes forth permeating the very fiber of the people, the congregation, if you will, as it was in the Corinthian church, until it can infect and eventually kill the whole church, like the ant colony, if it's left unchecked. Though the ants are not capable of knowing how to eradicate the poison, we have Christ's own instruction on how to get rid of leaven, or the poison of sin. We look at a society that we live in today. Look at the things that are being presented to us as a whole. That, well, it's okay, a little bit here, a little bit there, but it's eventually affects or infects the whole world, you know. I was reading just this morning that a church locally here is promoting a queer camp, summer camp. This is wrong. But anyway, this is how it is presented to us. Oh, that's okay. They need help and we can be nice to them and all that. So we'll just open up a queer camp. That's wrong. You know, but anyway, that's my point of view. But so that I did not mean the sexually immoral people of the world or the covetous or the extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out into the world. But now I have written you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourself this evil person. This past week, from Passover observance to this present moment, has been our time of reflection, to therefore put away from ourselves, or from yourselves, ourselves, myself, the evil person, the person we were or are still struggling with. We know that just because we was baptized, our sin didn't just go away and not come back. It's still there. It's haunting us. It will grasp us if we allow it to do that. As we have traveled through this week, we have had the opportunity to seek out leaven or sin in our lives. How are we doing? Did we get caught with a half-eaten donut? Did you know? Donuts are only brought out to share once a year. Once a year. By someone just during the days of unleavened bread. At least it seems that way. Or that small package of crackers you stuffed in your pocket when you was having lunch at Golden Corral. Just having it with your salad or your soup, but had too many, thought, I'll just have that for a snack later, but you found it now. Of course, these are only small physical things. What about the larger spiritual things we have to deal with in our lives? How are we doing? We are told not to compare ourselves with one another, but we can certainly compare ourselves with ourselves. Have we been asking God to show us where we have sinned and to show us how to change? If we don't ask, this asking you shall receive. We ask Him to show us those sins and how to change, and He'll show us. How have we grown in our endeavor to change from this time last year? Just think about it. 2 years ago, 5 years ago, or from the time that we were baptized. I'm sure if we look back, we'll see more improvement than we realize. Remembering these changes are a matter of process of our conversion and don't take place just at the time of baptism. Be nice if it's that easy. Remember, this time of reflection, examination, self-analysis does not and cannot stop at sundown this evening. Now, this week didn't just take care of things. It's a constant and a narrow path we must take in order to inherit the kingdom of God with our Savior Jesus Christ. We're not to look back at our sins, except to remind us that they have been forgiven by the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ, and that we don't touch them, the sin or the poison, again. God's word is very simple. God makes things very simple for us. We are the ones who make it difficult. God says you do this, we don't want to do that. Says don't do this, we want to do that. We make it difficult. We have been called to have a part in the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Everyone here in this room. We're told in Luke 9:62. You can turn there if you want. I have it here. But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." We just had a sermonette last week about the plow. Why? Just as a farmer plowing a field or you mowing your grass, if you look back, you're going to get off track. If you should continue to the end of the row, you can become completely off track. I remember growing up, starting to drive, you had to watch when you was driving. If whichever way you happen to glance at, that's the way your car would go. It just seemed to follow that, you know, that's the way you do when you're plowing a field or mowing your grass. you should continue to the end. If you should continue to the end, you become completely off track. You must stay focused at all times on the kingdom of God, or just like the plowman. If we should keep looking back, we become disoriented and allow the leaven of sin to poison us to death. But we make things complicated because of our humanity. God makes our journey to his kingdom focused, straight, and narrow. Simply put, it says in Matthew 6:33, and I don't think we need to turn there. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to him. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? You know, that's what we need to do. I have 4 points to consider. First point is study. I'll just go over these and give you the scriptures. If you want to turn there, you can. If not, you can look at them later. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth, the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. Ecclesiastes 12:12. And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is worrisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. How are you to fear God and keep his commandments? Except by learning what he expects, except by studying his word. For this the whole duty of man, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Number 2, pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you just get down on your knees and stay there and pray. It just means you're always in a state of prayer. Verse 21, test all things, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. 1 Peter 4:7-9. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. That's hard sometimes. Hebrews 4:16. And I'll refer to this one a little bit later again, so we'll catch it then. Number 3, fast. Draw closer to God to seek his will, not our own. We are to be living sacrifices. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable duty. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Number 4, counsel. We all need counsel once in a while. We need to ask questions, have somebody else's input. But don't be afraid to ask for help when you're having a difficult time with a spiritual issue such as sin or leaven. We have a very compassionate high priest, Jesus Christ, and one of his names is Counselor. That's Isaiah 9, we're going to start in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Remembering this, then, we are told, now we'll go back to Hebrews again, Hebrews 14:14-16, seeing that you have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but who is in all points tempted, as we are, yet without sin. and find now in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Now, if you turn with me now to Matthew 6:33, we'll just read that one. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. These things, we think of these things, it's physical things. You know, it's not physical things, it's spiritual things. And we had a sermon or sermonette not too long mentioning these. Please turn with me. We'll find out what those things were. To Galatians. I think it's in here. Galatians 5. These are the things that he'll provide. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I hope this has been useful for you, that you can use these points to grow and overcome even more.